Proactive School Security and Emergency Preparedness Planning. Author, Kenneth Trump. Understanding and Managing School Safety. Effectively managing school safety requires the combined skills of a juggler and a tightrope walker. School administrators must juggle school safety and the many other aspects of leading schools, academics, facilities, finances, district politics, and school community relations. They must also walk a tightrope by beefing up the security and preparedness for an emergency, while maintaining a supportive environment where students feel they're part of the school. Teachers can focus on academics, parents feel welcome as visitors and volunteers, and the school is part of the broader community. The school security threat continuum. We cannot frame school security threats in the form of a top 10 list of specific threats at any given time. Instead, school leaders must prepare for a continuum of threats that could potentially affect the safety of their school at any given point in time. The threats involve from school to school and from one point in time to another. Planning and preparedness must evolve accordingly. Security and emergency preparedness components. Steps should be taken in at least four basic risk reduction categories associated with school security and emergency preparedness. 1. Firm, fair and consistent enforcement of safety-related policies and procedures, along with adequate and effective levels of adult supervision. 2. Training, as appropriate, on security and crisis threat trends and strategies for all school personnel, including support staff, such as secretaries, office support staff, custodians and maintenance staff, food service staff and transportation staff, as well as other key members of the school community. 3. Professional school security assessments conducted by qualified professionals, such as in-house school security specialists or qualified outside school security consultants, and the implementation of appropriate recommendations stemming from such an assessment. 4. Creation, testing, updating and revising emergency preparedness guidelines for natural disasters and crises stemming from man-made acts of crime and violence. Early warning, timely response. Following a number of high-profile school shootings, the US Departments of Education and Justice published a document titled Early Warning, Timely Response, A Guide to Safe Schools by K. Dwyer, D. Osher and C. Wager, in an effort to develop an early warning guide to help adults reach out to troubled children quickly and effectively. Early warning signs were presented in the report, with the stipulation that all signs are not equally significant, and that it is inappropriate and potentially harmful to use the signs alone as an index for predicting aggression and violence. The authors also noted that troubled children typically exhibit multiple warning signs, and that this often occurs repeatedly and with increasing intensity over a period of time. With these qualifiers, the authors presented a series of early warning signs, which includes the following. Social withdrawal, excessive feelings of isolation and being alone. Excessive feelings of rejection, being a victim of violence. Feelings of being picked on and persecuted. Low school interest and poor academic performance. Expression of violence in writings and drawings. Uncontrolled anger. Patterns of impulsive and chronic hitting, intimidation and bullying behaviours. A history of discipline problems. A history of violent and aggressive behaviour. Intolerance for differences and prejudicial attitudes. Drug use and alcohol use. Affiliation with gangs. Inappropriate access to, possession of and use of firearms. Serious threats of violence. The authors distinguished these early warning signs from what they called imminent warning signs, which indicate a greater potential for a student to behave in a potentially dangerous manner and that require an immediate response. These signs include the following. Serious physical fighting with peers or family members. Severe destruction of property. Severe rage for seemingly minor reasons. Detailed threats of lethal violence. possession and or use of firearms and other weapons, other self-injurious behaviours or threats of suicides. Prevention, intervention and treatment. Parents, school officials and other youth service providers can take numerous steps to reduce the stresses on children and in turn to help lower the risks of stress-triggered violent behaviour. Some of these steps might include the following. 1. Establish ongoing, sincere and trusting relationships with youths built on regular, quality communications. 2. Be sensitive to the stressors influencing children and provide timely intervention support. 3. Be consistent in expectations and in disciplining youths. 4. Listen to kids with non-judgmental attitude, even if you disagree with their perspectives. The emphasis is on listening, not on having to agree with what you hear. 5. Be alert to small, incremental changes in youth behaviour instead of waiting for the major event. Emergency preparedness planning. No person can perfectly script every possible crisis, but having no guidelines at all in today's education world could legitimately be considered as negligence. The key rests somewhere between doing nothing and paralysis by analysis. So where do we start? Where do we stop? These are two common questions about the emergency planning process. Giving recommendations for where to start is not too difficult, depending on where the people asking the question you actually are in the process. Knowing when enough is enough, however, is the more difficult task. The planning process. The emergency preparedness planning process should include at least 10 basic steps. 1. Appoint a district-level crisis team and building-level crisis team. 2. Determine realistic goals and objectives for the crisis teams. 3. Research guidelines and resources for developing crisis guidelines that are in place in other schools. 4. Review and, if necessary, modify existing school policies and recommend new policies if appropriate. 5. Identify resources within the individual school, at the district level, and within the community, and consider the following questions. What is the source and level of response to be anticipated from local emergency service personnel, such as police, fire, and medical? If counsellors, psychologists, and other mental health professionals are needed, can they be drawn from other schools within the district? And, if so, how? Will they need to come from other districts or community agencies? What communications capabilities exist or do not exist? 6. Conduct or have a qualified professional conduct a school security assessment and review and re-evaluate plans at least annually. 7. Develop crisis guidelines in a two-directional manner to ensure that guidelines are not simply issued in a top-down fashion without the input and ownership of the building staff, and that individual building teams are not putting together different sets of guidelines. 8. Have the final draft versions of the crisis guidelines reviewed by key stakeholders in the process, within and outside of the district, including emergency service providers and school attorneys. 9. Test and revise the guidelines and train all staff on them. 10. Understand the role of the emergency preparedness guidelines in relation to the broader, more comprehensive school safety plan, and make planning for both an ongoing process within the school community. Future directions. Schools need to strengthen their capacity to prevent, manage, and recover from school crises. Many of the things that need to be done require leadership and cost more time than they do money. But outside entities also can directly or indirectly help provide support to schools to accomplish these tasks. The safety of schools is directly related to academic achievement. Solidifying schools as credible community institutions and advancing society by promoting environments driven by learning, not climates focused on fear and personal safety. School safety, therefore, contributes to the operation continuity of our schools, and in turn the continuity of the economic engine the education industry plays in the economy. Government agencies can, and should, support school safety planning and programs. The academic community also needs to step up to better support school safety. Academic research is sorely lacking on school security and emergency preparedness issues, not just prevention and intervention programs. Academia also needs to strengthen its preparedness of teachers and administrators through higher education coursework and certification programs on school safety prevention, security and emergency preparedness issues.